Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, church. What a joy that we can come and look at God's Word together. Would you join me as we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we ask that you will come and speak to us this morning, each and every one of us, myself included, O God, that, Lord, your Word will percolate deep into our hearts and transform our lives. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's start today's message with a pop quiz. I don't usually do this, but just for a change, you'll see on the screen the question: which Old Testament verse is most quoted in the New Testament? Which Old Testament verse is most quoted in the New Testament? And I've given you three verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Or B, Leviticus 19:18, do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Or C, Psalm 110, verse 1, this is the declaration of the Lord to my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I'm just going to do a very low-tech way. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? So, doesn't matter if you don't know, just anyhow guess, all right? I tell you, I didn't even know this until I prepared for this message. Okay, so no shame if you get it wrong. All right, who thinks it's A, love the Lord your God? Okay, very good. Keep your hands up, 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 up. Okay, all right, camera, taken picture. Okay, very good. Now, who thinks it's B, Leviticus 19, verse 18? Okay, very good. And who thinks it's C, Psalm 110, verse 1? Hardly anybody. Okay, some, yes. Okay, before I give you the answer, this is what the Gospel of Mark records for us in chapter 12, verse 28 to 31. I'd like to read that for you very quickly. One of the scribes approached, and when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them, the Sadducees, well, he asked him, which command is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Some of us may know that Jesus was in fact quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 29 and verse 30. But many people do not realize that Jesus was also in fact quoting when he spoke what is recorded for us in verse 31. Leviticus 19:18 tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, this verse in Leviticus 19, verse 18, is quoted 8 times in the whole of the New Testament, the most times, 8 times. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, is quoted only 3 times. And in fact, Psalm 110, a few of you raised your hands there, is quoted more often than Deuteronomy 6:5. It's quoted 5 times. So, does it fascinate us that the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament does not command us to pray more or to offer some sacrifice or to fast or to perform some extraordinary kind of work of faith? Instead, the most quoted Old Testament verse is not even the great Shema confession of Deuteronomy 6. It is to love your neighbor as yourself. The second greatest command. In this season, leading up to our National Day, it is also our second prayer wave in 2024. Covenant's Pulpit will make a detour from Leviticus to preach on our second faith exploit to disciple Singapore. And this week in particular, we will focus on reaching our neighbors. If we are to reverse Christianity's decline in Singapore, if we are to bring in 100,000 new believers by 2030 into the kingdom, then one key way that we are to do this is for Christians to reach our neighbors. And I'd like to put to you that in order to disciple Singapore, we can reach our neighbors in two ways. We can reach them by loving them unreservedly, and we can reach them by serving them tirelessly. We reach our neighbors by loving them unreservedly, and we reach our neighbors by serving them tirelessly. Let me just say something about the QR code that will keep appearing. Today, for the sermon, there's going to be just one QR code. And if you scan this, it will give you access to everything that we're going to mention in the sermon today. All right? It will give you a menu that will give you all the things that you will need to access. Just one QR code, and it will keep appearing in case you've missed it earlier. So let's jump right in. First, we can reach our neighbors by loving them unreservedly. And I will focus more on this first point. You may recall from Pastor Kekyong's overview sermon on holy living several weeks ago that Leviticus 19 contains a whole gamut of laws pertaining to everyday holiness. And among these are verses 9 to 18, which we will focus on today. So today is not part of the Leviticus series, but today's message on reaching our neighbor has an apt passage that I'd like us to focus on, which just happens to be in Leviticus. So I'd like us to read this together. It's rather long, so let me read this to you. Leviticus 19, verse 9 to verse 18. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the resident alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not act deceptively or lie to one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages due a hired worker must not remain with you until morning. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but you are to fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not act unjustly when deciding a case. Do not be partial to the poor or give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go out spreading slander among your people. Do not jeopardize your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against the members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now let's make some observations from this text. First, you may notice that every two verses comes the punctuation, I am the Lord. The repetition is so frequent, so regular, so repetitive that you just can't miss it. And you almost want to say, okay, that's enough, Lord. I got it. You are the Lord. I got it. And that's precisely what the Lord wants to communicate here as He reminds us, as He reminds His people to be crystal clear that the Lord, He is God. And this is the reason that they are to obey all these laws that He is to give them, to love their neighbors. So we are to love our neighbors not because they are lovable people, not because they will love us back, not because we may need their help sometime in future, not because it feels like it's the right thing to do. We are to love our neighbors, the Lord says, first and foremost, because He is the Lord and He has given us these commands, and we love our God, and therefore we obey Him and do what is pleasing unto Him. Next, we also observe that the neighbor, the word neighbor appears five times in this text, verse 13, 15, 16, and 18, highlighted in red. But in this portion of scripture, there are also mentions of many other people to whom we also are called to show love to. And here they are. I've highlighted them for you in blue. The poor, the resident alien, the foreigner who is sojourning with them. One another, a hired worker, the deaf, the blind, the rich, your people, your brother. Now, if we are to read this whole passage as I've done earlier and read it in context, we will see that verse 18, the last verse, sums this all up by referring to all these people as members of your community. And it is in this context that it climaxes in verse 18 to say, love your neighbor as yourself. Members of your community, love them. They are your neighbors. So, who then is your neighbor? Anyone who is a member of your community, the poor, the foreigners, your staff at work, your domestic worker, the people with disabilities that are around us, the rich and powerful, your family, your friends. And in the time of Leviticus, God's law informs us that everyone in the community of Israel, including the sojourners, those who are among them, are to be deemed as neighbors. They are to be loved as neighbors. Then you may also recall that in the New Testament, when someone asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus, in fact, upped the ante. He told them the parable of the Good Samaritan, and he taught that even members outside of the Jewish community, in particular the people whom the Jewish people despise as outcasts, who are they? The Samaritans. Even these who are not members of your local community, they are your neighbors, and you are to love them as yourselves. Now, thirdly, I'd like us to observe that there are five facets that are revealed to us in the passage that we just looked at, each one, two verses, and punctuated with, I am the Lord. What are these five facets? Let's look at the first two verses. It talks about not reaping to the very edge of your field. Don't harvest everything and strip your vineyard bare, but instead, leave some. Leave some. That which falls, those at the edge, leave it so that the poor, those that don't own land and property like you, can come and pick. What it's saying here is that even though it is entirely your right to glean, to harvest down to the last grape, down to the last fruit or wheat or whatever it is that you are planting, don't do that. But instead, be generous. Be generous so that others who are less well off than you can be blessed. That's how you love them. Let's look at the second facet. Do not steal. Do not act deceptively or lie to one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. And in one word, I would summarize that to be integrity. Would you act with integrity so that you don't take what doesn't belong to you, you don't deceive, you don't make false representation, you don't swear falsely, you act with integrity so that people can trust you. Integrity. What about the third facet? It says not to oppress your neighbor. Don't rob him. The hired worker, and these are usually daily wage workers, it says don't withhold their wages until tomorrow. That means pay them today. Don't hold it back. Don't curse the deaf. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. And in one word, if I were to put this, to summarize this, I would say it is compassion. Compassion. Because there are those around us whom we can bless, whom we can love through these very simple acts when we act righteously. The next facet, the fourth one, do not act unjustly when deciding a case. Now, this is clearly speaking to those who are in power, those who have the authority to judge cases. It says, do not be partial to the poor and give preference to the rich. Judge your neighbor fairly, regardless of whether they are rich or poor. Don't go about spreading slander. Don't jeopardize your neighbor's life. And in one word, if I were to summarize this, how are we to love our neighbor by acting in this way? It is to act with impartiality, justice, and righteousness, particularly when you are in a position of power. Finally, the fifth facet, don't harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you'll not incur guilt. Do not take revenge. Do not bear a grudge against members of your community. And again, in one word, if I were to summarize this, how are we to love our neighbors? It is by being willing to show forgiveness. When someone has wronged you, don't hold it against them. Go and talk it out with them. And even if this person would not admit to wrong, would you not harbor hatred against them? But would you forgive them? So in summary, this is how I will loosely paraphrase Leviticus 19, verse 9 to 18. I would say, love your neighbor by being generous to those who are less well off than you, because I am the Lord. Love your neighbor by relating honestly and with integrity with one another, because I am the Lord. Love your neighbor by being compassionate to those who are in need, and not causing further hurt to them, because I am the Lord. Love your neighbor by being fair, by being just, and being righteous and impartial to those over whom you have been placed in a position of power, because I am the Lord. Love your neighbor by being upfront with them. Forgive them for the hurt that they may have caused you. Don't hold it against them, because I am the Lord. So how does this translate into our modern day living today? For us today, it feels a bit far, right? Judging cases and robbing people and all. Well, here's how I think we might want to think about these verses so that it may be a bit more relevant to us. Can we be generous, for example, to our domestic helpers by giving her an occasional paid day off over and beyond what is contracted and required of you? When we make a team presentation for a group project, can we give rightful credit to the other team members who came up with good ideas, especially when these ideas were not ours? Would you be willing to go out of your way to render assistance to someone who is destitute, who is disabled, who calls out to you for help? Compassion. And for our NS boys who are commanders, and there are men who are placed under you, would these men say that you are upright and fair in how you lead them, how you reward them, and how you punish them? Impartiality. And finally, when one of your close friends should unexpectedly say or do something that may hurt you, or when someone in the office backstabs you, would you be willing to initiate a difficult conversation with kind words? And if he or she refuses to take responsibility to apologize, would you still be willing to forgive him or forgive her?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
More than 20 years ago, and shortly after we moved into our new flat in Bukit Panjang, it was the Mid-Autumn Festival, and my wife and I, we bought mooncakes to give to our new neighbors. Firstly, to bless them, and also as an excuse to knock on their door and get to know them. And so we got to know many of our neighbors. They were pleasantly surprised by our gesture of love and outreach. But there was just one particular neighbor who was completely unreceptive. He refused to even come to the door, and he rejected our mooncakes outright. And from that day onwards, our relationship with this neighbor became more and more awkward. He wasn't hostile, he wasn't nasty, but he was clearly uncomfortable when he saw us. And we didn't quite know how to relate to him either. On more than one occasion, when either my wife or myself, we were coming one way, like downstairs, you know, at the void, we were coming one way, and he was coming in the opposite direction, and he saw us coming, he would make a turn immediately, make a huge detour just to avoid walking past us. So that's how awkward it was. And we think that this silly mooncake gesture really backfired on us. So fast forward that to 2012, my wife and I, we moved overseas. We lived away for a couple of years. We moved back in 2016. Many of our neighbors had moved. You know, we had new neighbors, but this neighbor still remained. So that kind of awkward thing, I think, just picked up from where we left off. And it just continued. Until about a month ago, there was a breakthrough. I happened to walk past his unit just as he was outside at the corridor tending to his potted plants, and I smiled at him. And lo and behold, he smiled back at me. It's like, whoa, this is breakthrough. I told my wife, she couldn't believe it. Then just yesterday, my wife and my daughter and I, we went for lunch, and as we came back, there he was again. He was tending to his potted plants. So I tried again, I smiled at him. You know what? He smiled back, he even gave me a friendly wave. It's like, wow, this must be the best thing that happened to me in 2024. It took 24 years for this breakthrough. I think it's something to do with the potted plants. Well, whatever it is, we give thanks, and we also know that Mid-Autumn Festival is coming again. But I'm not sure if we'll do that again. What I'm sharing with you here is that sometimes it just requires us to be really thick-skinned and keep going. Friends, if you think that loving unreservedly is just too big for you, how about starting with just baby steps? Like just smiling at your neighbor. Not too difficult to do, right? Just smiling at your neighbor. And perhaps, if appropriate, just to make some small talk, initiate a simple conversation. Begin with small acts of kindness. That's how loving unreservedly begins. One of the ways that as a church we practice small acts of kindness is through bless. And this is something that we have shared many times, but for some time we've not talked about it. So I'd like to remind us of bless. Bless is when we begin in prayer for someone, and then we listen to them as we engage in conversation with them. We invite them for a meal and we eat with them, and then we understand their needs and serve them. And when the Lord opens the door and gives you the opportunity, we share our story with them. This is a simple, small step that all of us can take. Just as a reminder, if you have scanned the QR code, you will find this available. You don't even have to snap a picture of this. Another small act of kindness is to invite your neighbors to Alpha. This is especially suitable for those of us who have neighbors who are curious about life and faith or like to ask many questions about Christianity. A new run of Alpha will begin in August, and more details, again, can be found
in the link that you would have scanned. If you haven't, you can scan it now. So, my friends, in order to disciple Singapore, we can reach our neighbours first by loving them unreservedly. But we also must reach our neighbours by serving them tirelessly. And here, I'd like us to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, where the Apostle Paul quotes Leviticus 19, verse 18. He says, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love, for the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself." When we read this in its larger context, Paul is telling the Galatians that Christ has set them free. They no longer have to try to become justified by keeping the law. Rather, they are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And out of that faith, their works of love must now follow. Loving others was always the aim of the Jewish law, shown in Leviticus. And now it is possible because Jesus has shown the way and He gives His Spirit to us to help us. So we are free not to break the law, but to keep it. And true freedom in Christ, says Paul, is keeping the law to love your neighbor as yourself. And this shows itself in service to others. And that's where we will now look at the next verse in Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Paul goes on to say, within the same context of his argument, he says, "Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith." First, Paul urges believers to do good tirelessly. He says, "Let us not get tired of doing good." And secondly, he calls them to do good, particularly to those who belong to the household of faith, meaning those who are believers. But he says, "Let us work for the good of all," which means we are not limited only to the household of faith. We are to do good to those who are outside of the household of faith, those who are not yet believers. Or to put it more simply, our wider community, which includes both believers and non-believers, let us be tireless in doing good to all. To all. No distinction. One of the ministries in Covenant ESC that does good tirelessly is our ComBless ministry. And in Bukit Panjang, it is led by our brother Man Yen. He leads a small band of covenanters to reach out to our surrounding blocks once a month. The team visits, distributes food, and prays for residents, particularly those from blocks 632 to block 634. These are the one-room flats in Bukit Panjang. And one such beneficiary is Kok Fai. Kok Fai is someone who received food rations when the ComBless team came to distribute them at his home 2 years ago. And since then, Man Yen has continued to build this relationship with Kok Fai, visiting him at home and getting to know his needs, praying for him, and in whatever ability he has to support Kok Fai in practical ways wherever possible. And through Manyan's patient friendship, walking the journey with Kok Fai, after 2 years, just this year, Kok Fai agreed to come to church. Several weeks ago, I met Kok Fai and I had the privilege of praying for him. ComBless according to Manyen, is not just an outreach ministry, he says, but it is a crucial discipleship experience as we follow the heartbeat of our Lord, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So my friends, one way that we can love our neighbor and grow in our discipleship is for you to consider whether you might want to give one Saturday morning a month to join the ComBless team to bless those who are in need. Friends, as we seek to reach our neighbors, let us serve our neighbors through love, and let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. I'd like to close with one final story, and this is a video that I'd like you to watch, a video of our sister Lin Chia. And for Lin, and maybe some of us too, our unreached neighbor might even be someone in our own family, someone whom we've been praying for many years. And Lin shared her testimony at the One Church Prayer and Praise earlier this month. Even if you've heard it before at the Prayer and Praise, would you listen to it again and be blessed? And in particular, I'd like you to pay attention to what Lin says towards the end about doing good tirelessly and not giving up. Let's have the video, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lin. Ever since I became a Christian 16 years ago, I used to think it's very hard to convert Dad. Due to his work, Dad was absent most of my growing up years, but he provided for all our physical needs. Relationally, I usually don't have much to say to him. Dad is not the most easy person to live with. He expects things to be done his way, and it makes being around him difficult. I remember there was one time he was hospitalized and I offered to pray for him. And he said to me, didn't you already pray for me last week and still I have to go to hospital? You want to pray prayer? I think many would be turned off when they heard such a response. But I prayed and I asked God to help me love my dad. I know I had to love him into the kingdom. And there was one breakthrough weekend, God showed me an inner vow I had. And that was like, I never want to marry someone like my dad. And God then and then convicted my heart that I've judged my dad. And I had to repent and ask God for forgiveness. God gave me a new perspective to see my dad differently. You see, my dad lost his dad at 7 years old. He was the eldest in his family and he had to fend for the family. The family was very poor. He took on several jobs as a teenager to support them. So providing basic needs for his family is his way of love. He didn't know how else to love as a father because he was never loved by his own father. He parented me the way he knew best, and that was to provide for my needs, because going through a hard life, being in lack, he didn't want his children to lack any physical needs, and we never did. October 2023, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. I had a 8 cm tumor on my right breast, and with cancer that's left spread to my lymph node, it was fast growing. I had to start chemo immediately. The day I shared news about my cancer, Dad broke down. He said, 耶稣, 请你把所有的苦痛放在我的身上。 我女儿的命已经很苦了，让我承受吧。 Says Lord Jesus, please let all the pain and suffering be on me and not on my daughter. She has already gone through so much suffering. I'm already so old. Please let me take over. Tears just flowed unceasingly. My dad crying out to Jesus, wanting to take over my cancer. I was so touched by God's love for me. My earthly father wants to take over my physical illness, and how much more my heavenly father who sent Jesus to take over my spiritual sickness. We've been praying for dad to know Jesus for many years and he has been lukewarm. But since my diagnosis, he goes to church every Sunday. He asks the pastors to pray for me. So when the Halo group in the Chinese congregation was launched last October, I attended with him every Saturday. As long as Dad is willing to attend, I will make time for him. He even shaved his head to stand in solidarity with me. And so last year, Christmas Eve, 12 years after that prayer at the hospital, my dad was finally baptized at 79 years old. Praise the Lord! So for those who are praying for your unsaved loved ones, do not give up. In Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Keep on praying, loving them, making that time for them. With God, all things are possible. All glory to Him.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not get tired. Let us not grow weary of doing good, of loving and serving our neighbors. For we will reap in due time, at God's proper time, if we would just not give up. In order to disciple Singapore, we can reach our neighbors by loving them unreservedly and by serving them tirelessly. And the supreme example of that one person who loved his neighbors unreservedly and served them tirelessly is none other than Christ Jesus our Lord. The Son of God became the Son of Man in order that He may make us His neighbors, so that He may love us. And even as He loved us, He served us and gave Himself for us. He loved us and served us to the extent that He laid down His very life, that we may be ransomed from our sin, that we may return to God, our Father in heaven. So, church, I ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray, as we respond, and as we listen to what God is saying to us, as He calls us to love our neighbors. If we are to reach our neighbors, we must love them unreservedly. We must serve them tirelessly. Lord, you know that this is way higher, way bigger, much, much more than many of us are able to do. And yet, Lord, this is what you have called us to. So, God, I pray that you will help us, that you will enable us, that we may bless our neighbor, that we may invite someone to Alpha, that we may join the Combless team. Perhaps not all, Lord, but would you place upon our hearts that one thing that you'd like us to respond to? And Lord, would you enable us to do so? And even then, Lord, we are so much in need of your empowering, of your grace and mercy. So hear our prayer, Lord, as we cry out to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we need your grace and mercy.
To pray like never before, we need the power of your Holy Spirit to open heaven's door. Spirit, touch your church, stir the hearts of men, revive passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me.
Lord, we humbly come before you.
Lord, we humbly come before you. We don't see your glory restore. Passion once again, I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your rain fall upon me. Let your rain fall upon me.
Let your rain,
let your rain fall.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.